When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Saturday, August 3rd, SummerSlam 2024, now in the books. I'm Raj Geary, along with the Blueprint, Mr. Matt Morgan. Mr. Matt Morgan, how are you?
Mr. Raj Geary, I am doing good. Why so formal?
And Glenn does it. I figure I might as well do it in his absence.
So. very long pay-per-view. Very long.
Yeah. Usually they've been, you know, I mean, granted, the BPLEs have been, you know, under 3 hours. This one is an A show. So they went pretty much the whole 4 hours. I mean, it ended about 5 minutes ago. So, no pre-show matches. So top to bottom was 4 hours.
That was okay. So I don't know. Maybe it was the crowd. The crowd was weird. They were very finicky tonight. They were weird. I didn't think they were nearly loud enough for LA Knight when he came out. I can't keep saying that. Maybe it's storylines. I don't know. Because they went bananas and Roman came out, right? They did go bananas when Cody first came out too. So they did have the energy to pop like that. I guess I don't know. All the guys I usually like are not getting the reactions I wanted them to get tonight.
Really, Punk. I thought LA Knight got a really good reaction. You didn't think so?
That is his first title win. In the company, they should have went ape shit for that, and not even for the finish. Cheering for a finish—that's easy. I'm talking about like when the guy first comes out, like when he used to do the LA Knight. The whole arena would erupt with that. Huh. And I just feel like it's dropped down a little bit in that arena.
That's interesting. I thought the crowd was pretty alive the whole night. The only time I thought they were down a bit was the beginning of Nia Jax and Bayley, but you know they came back towards the end of that.
You didn't think they were kind of down versus Punk and Drew a little bit too?
I mean, there were a couple times. It was like I noticed like when CM Punk went to the top rope, right? And yeah. It was they were pretty quiet, but then once he did the Macho Man raising his hands in the air, then they got loud. But I actually thought this was a great SummerSlam. I thought from top to bottom.
The thing itself was fantastic. I'm just saying the audience specifically.
Yeah. No name with the hashtag OTC, which is what Roman Reigns had on his shirt when he came out. What was that? Did I?
Original, I feel like I'm original tribal chief.
Ah, that makes sense. So yeah, SummerSlam. Overall, your thoughts?
Friggin' very awesome. I did love everything about it except for the arena, obviously. Because dude, they were chanting for like they were doing the beach ball chant shit. Like when there's a fight and everyone starts chanting for it. WWE, that happens in every arena at every show. There's not just a fight once in a blue moon at WWE arenas. It happens every single show. Yeah. And for the fans to pay more attention to a fight instead of what was in the ring, like even Gunther and Damian, like Damien, when he raised his title, when he first got his name introduced, the crowd was like lukewarm. I don't know.
Well, that's why I thought Seth was going to win last month. Was it Money in the Bank where they last wrestled?
Is that okay? I don't know if that's the crappy fans or is that, you know, is it the storylines? You know what I mean? Because I don't know. I'm overthinking it probably way too much. The show itself, though, the matches, the finishes, I loved all of it. I'm just hoping Jacob Fatu did not get hurt for real.
That looked like a real injury.
It did look like a real injury.
Especially when Roman came in, it looked like he was supposed to take out Jacob Fatu, and then Cody was supposed to finish Solo Sikoa. Because basically what they ended up doing was Roman beat Solo Sikoa for Cody, and Cody, you know, just picked him up and hit his finisher. And I think Roman was supposed to take out Jacob Fatu. So I hope that's not the case, because that would be a clever way to get Jacob Fatu out of the mix so him and Roman don't touch, and you save that for later. But it did look like a legitimate injury. I'm hoping that's not the case.
Me too. And if it's not, what a great sell job.
Yeah, because that was believable as hell.
It was.
So SummerSlam opened with Jelly Roll. I haven't listened to much Jelly Roll, but man, I thought that open that they did with him doing that song. And then they, instead of the video package open that they usually do, they had Jelly Roll doing it. And then they cut to the video clips of the different matches. And I thought it was a really cool touch.
It was a very cool touch. The whole thing from top to bottom, bookend, this whole pay-per-view was freaking awesome, I thought.
So Matt, what's your favorite Jelly Roll song?
I don't have any.
This one?
Zero.
So Jelly Roll is one of those guys, like my daughters listen to Today's Hits on Pandora. And so I guess he comes on a lot. I just don't know it's him. Like last night, I heard the new Country Roads, which is the old John Denver song kind of redone. Didn't realize that was him. So it's a pretty big deal.
Oh, he's a huge get. I know his name. I know how popular he is. I just don't really care about him.
Yeah. And so the SummerSlam, they didn't have a giant stage. It was basically just like the old school arena, you know, where just kind of like a flasher entrance with the screen. And that was it. I thought that was really cool.
It did. It worked. It was a long ass entrance, especially when they had to have run-ins later in the night. you know what I mean? It took away from a little bit of the pomp and circumstance for a lot of their entrances. But, hey, 57,000 people. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I say save those big stages for WrestleMania. I like the more scaled down. It's just a different atmosphere.
I like it too. I like it like this too, because I've so many years, like when I was coming up, it was like the dream to one day have your own Titantron, right? To be a pro wrestler and be able to walk down that Titantron with your gimmick all over the screen, like a mark for yourself. But now we're at a time where that's been so played out. They've done it for so long that now it's a different aesthetic. It looks cool. And most importantly, we are all smart enough to know why they're doing it, because they're that popular. They're that hot. There's that many seats they need to fill. And I don't know. It makes me feel like I'm watching a bigger event because of it.
Yeah. I mean, they did have some empty sections that they hid, you know, they hid from the camera. But, you know, again, it's not, this isn't WrestleMania, it's SummerSlam. They're not going to do 70,000-80,000, but it still looked impressive as hell on screen. And I think the entrance also, they save a ton of money by not doing the gigantic stage. And
yes,
Nick Khan is all about the profits.
He is smart. And I have no problem with all the advertisements, all the adverts on the sides of the match. I don't care about any of that. That doesn't distract me at all from the matches either.
Yeah. Jake Stellar, Justin Lopez, pointing out that it reminded him of the Wembley entrance in 1992.
You know what? Yeah, similar shape, similar. Yeah, he's right, actually.
Yeah, that's a cool. Good call. So we go to our first match. We had Rhea Ripley challenging Liv Morgan for the women's title. I think a lot of people saw this coming, but
I think I was the first one to say it, though, technically, on Twitter.
Yeah, there you go.
But it's okay.
But the execution was great. Like there was one part where Rhea Ripley looked like she popped her shoulder out, and then she did the whole lethal weapon, Martin Riggs, the smashing it and then popping it back in.
So
which
cool.
was really cool. The finish of the match, Liv.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say at the end of the match, Liv Morgan grabbed a chair, was going to use it. Rhea Ripley got it, was going to use it on Liv, but Dom took the chair. And was explaining to Rhea, like, if you use the chair, you're going to get disqualified. Match continued. Dom had the ref distracted, and then Liv hit her finisher on Rhea on the chair, got the pin. And then after the match, Dom and Liv started making out. So we got a reshuffling of the Judgment Day starting with this tonight.
Mm-hmm. Great. I know people similar to the Punk match wanted to see, you know, a returning superstar of that caliber get a win. I didn't think Rhea needs it. She's a super duper star. Like, she did not need to win tonight. It doesn't hurt her at all not winning. It just furthers that storyline even further. Wrestling's supposed to be about storylines and intriguing ones. This isn't an intriguing storyline. People, say what you want. I believe people pay to see the storyline. I really do. I know it sounds crazy. People might not believe me, think I'm exaggerating. I'm not. People want to see Dom get his ass kicked, number one. They all want to see that. Mm-hmm. And they'll pay good money to see it. And two, they want to see Rhea get her hands on her and give her comeuppance for injuring her, etc. And we thought it was going to be a bloodbath, but look what ended up happening. It's a good, intriguing storyline. I liked it a lot. And Rhea came in great shape. Her back is just like so her upper lats are so wide. And yeah. Like, tiny ways you could tell she's been putting in the work in the gym while she's been out injured. She's always been in amazing shape. But like she looked even more jacked than normal tonight and in great shape, great ring cardio shape. She's like you saw the commercial with her in the with Cody and Rey Mysterio as well in the Call of Duty mishmash with WWE. She's the perfect video game character.
All right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, she really is. So like she's like a superhero. So this is a good way for her to become that baby face and have Dom quit dragging her down.
And plus she's helping build Liv, because Liv's been around for a while, and there have been times where it looks like she's getting there and then she kind of goes backwards. And
you're right.
Her star has just risen so much in this storyline. And this just helps keep getting her over and more. I think she's the biggest star she's been so far.
You're correct. This is much bigger than when she beat Rousey and all and anybody else. Even when she beat Becky, I thought that was a really big deal. Not as big as this, because the storyline, she's done a really good job in her role executing, you know, crying on the spot, making it looking puppy dog love, like she's really looking up and loves and adores Dom Mysterio somehow, that nasty mustache. She pulls it off, though. We really believe like she's crazy for him, right? She's got some acting chops and she's improving. And she's
been fantastic.
She needs a big tip of the cap to Rhea, too, though, because you have to have that counterpart that people care enough about, and people care about mommy.
Right. And little piece of trivia. This was Rhea Ripley's first pinfall loss in 2 years, over 2 years. Wow. And do you know who the last person to pin her was?
Hang on. I feel like it's a trick question. So is it Liv Morgan?
Yeah, it is. It was Liv Morgan. Good call. Mm-hmm. So up next, we had Bron Breakker versus Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental title. They kept it short and sweet. This was everything that it really should have been. This was kind of Braun's coming out moment.
It was, and this is exactly what it needed to be. God, he keeps improving, keeps getting better. This was the right finish, no question. And the company's heading in keeps moving onward and upward. You know, when you can't think the company could get higher, they do. And so this is not something we didn't see coming. We all did, but it was cool to see it happen. It was cool to see his uncle and his dad get to see it live. That must have been special for him. That's cool.
Did they show that on camera? Because I did see that online on social media with Rick and Scott Steiner celebrating.
Didn't show it on TV. They showed the two of them on TV later in the night when they showed like the Legends suite with Nash sitting in it and X-Pac as well and Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah.
But they didn't show them celebrating. So they showed that on social media.
Yeah, nice. Oh, longtime listener Ebony Washington saying, "Hey guys, coming to you live from Cleveland. Show was awesome."
Ebony, if you were there, what was up with the crowd? Am I just mishearing the crowd, or was the crowd hot all night, or were they up and down in your opinion, Ebony? Let us know when you get a chance.
After that, we had LA Knight versus Logan Paul. Now, I had the volume on really loud. I had it on downstairs. Mm-hmm. So I guess everything sounded loud, but I thought the crowd was loud for LA Knight, and they were really heated for Logan Paul in his hometown. He came out with MGK in his corner. There was a loud F you Logan chant.
Yes.
And this match was great. I thought it was one of LA Knight's best matches in WWE, maybe his best. Yeah, I thought this match, everything clicked, and the finish saw MGK hand Logan Paul the brass knucks. He hits LA Knight with it. LA Knight stunned, but quickly recovers, and then hits his finisher, the blunt force trauma, gets the pin. Logan Paul's feet were under the rope, so they could turn that into an angle. But LA Knight, the new U.S. champion. I know a lot of people have been waiting for LA Knight to finally get his moment, and this was pretty huge.
It was. I still think it should have happened 6 months ago, but with him winning his first, championship, I still think he's somebody who should be in the title contention for the heavyweight championship. I mean, no disrespect to Damian Priest, we just saw him have a title run. Mm-hmm. I don't see how he gets a title run before LA, Knight did at the time, as hot LA Knight was and still is. But I don't know. Great match. Like you said, this was a phenomenally good match. All the spots they hit too was impressive. Logan, I've never seen somebody off the vertical leap jump to the top rope, land on it backwards, and hit the moonsault to the outside. I've never seen that. The only time you've seen that, guys, is when the guy is standing on the outside of the apron and then jumps off the vertical leap off of 2 feet, lands with both feet on the top rope, springs up, and then does the moonsault. You've seen that. You've never seen them do it from inside the ring like that. At least I never have. He is so friggin' agile and athletic. It's insane how athletic this kid is. Sincerely crazy. Go ahead. What was that?
Bigfoot Sneakerhead with the $2 super chat saying, can we give Logan Paul his flowers? Yes. Amazing. I think we've been doing that on this podcast.
Nonstop.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of real life haters that don't like him for various reasons. We're able to push that crap aside and dissect what we're here to dissect, which is what he does in that wrestling ring. And you can't deny it. I'm sorry. He's not some celebrity anymore doing this. He's one of the upper echelon players in that whole damn company. Say what you want. He is.
Yeah. And how many singles matches has he had now? I mean, I think it's still under 10. Someone in the chat can probably correct me, but it's got to be under 10 as far as singles matches go. So, that's insane.
Folks are going to say, well, Matt, he practices every match for like 5 weeks leading up to it. Even if I did that, okay, you're still going to have nerves. You're still going to have things athletically you and I cannot do in that ring to the hater that's saying that. Okay, he has a lot of God-given gifts. And he's able to put it all together while being a dicky heel on top of it. He loves being a dicky heel. And they were all over him tonight. That part of this match with the crowd being, loud or not. Yeah, they were very loudly hating him. There's no question.
That's such a weird criticism, when wrestling is a work and you're angry at someone for rehearsing their match. It's like,
I know.
Oh, well, Ryan Reynolds is only good in Deadpool because he knew his lines ahead of time. It's like, I don't know. It just seems silly.
If he was just doing the basic stuff like body slams, suplexes, and Hulk Hogan, punches to the head, then okay, I can understand that. He's not doing that shit, guys. He's doing high flying crazy stuff. I mean, you saw it. You folks saw it. You can't hate on that.
Yeah. Stellar Justin Lopez noting it's his 7th singles match and 9th match overall. I'm taking it that's not including the Money in the Bank and the Royal Rumble.
Oh,
but
I don't care. Insane.
That is insane.
They say you don't get your feet under you until you have your 300th match. As far as I'm dead serious. As far as getting it and the light bulb going off, how to work the crowd, change shit on the fly in the match, not just everything you rehearsed. That's what they say. So that should tell you where this kid's going to be.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I know a lot of people, gave Logan Paul crap for not having many title defenses.
I didn't care.
A celebrity.
I didn't care at all. I thought the title did mean something because he's bringing on all these other shows I keep seeing on different networks, news channels or social media channels on YouTube. Yeah. I'm sorry. He did more for that title than anybody else would have, I'd argue, as far as getting it spotlit like that.
Yeah, just seeing the reaction when LA Knight won, again, it means that much more when you have Logan Paul beating a bunch of lower name guys does not help
do anything.
His matches mean so much more. He's an attraction.
You're correct. I agree.
Yeah. Up next, we had Nia Jax versus Bayley. This one started off slow, but ended up becoming a really good match.
It was. Naya did her thing and then some. She showed up tonight.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, for sure. And at the end, Tiffany Stratton's music hit at the end of the match. She ran down to the ring, but Bayley blocked her cash in. Then Naya just destroyed Bayley and hit a couple of bonsai drops, pinned her, and she's the new champion and celebrated with Tiffany Stratton. So Nia Jax with the win there.
And with the tip of the cap, too. I love how when she gets the pinfall doing the bonsai drop, as she always does, the arms folded. You know,
the cap to
Yoko. I love that.
Yeah, the full homage to Yokozuna.
Love that.
Yeah, it was. We'll get to it later. But top to bottom, the show was. This was the one match I thought might not live up to the other matches, and I thought it was really entertaining. It ended up being really good.
It did. Bayley's in such a great underselling, like from the bottom, like Sami Zayn, great underneath selling babyface.
Yeah. Up next, CM Punk with his first WWE singles televised match in over 10 years versus Drew McIntyre. And man, the atmosphere before the match even started, you know, they always say that big fight feel. This really did have that for as far as pro wrestling goes. Reminded me of like Omega and Danielson before their match started. Like it had that kind of vibe and really cool stuff. Like right before the match started, Seth Rollins wearing the most ridiculous pants that a referee has ever wore. Mm-hmm. Even Jesse Ventura at the first SummerSlam, he dressed pretty respectably, but Rollins took it to the next level. They did a lot of homages to SummerSlam 97, where Shawn Michaels was the special referee with Bret Hart versus The Undertaker.
Yep.
And for a while, I mean, you had Drew destroying Punk at the beginning because I had predicted Drew winning. And then Drew was just killing Punk for like the first 10 minutes. I was like, it sure seems like Punk's going to actually win.
So two things happened here tonight. One, did I like the finish? Well, no, because I'm a Punk fan, right? So the fan in me might not have liked it. The business side and Punk in the long run fan loved it because he showed he can do business tonight. Mm-hmm. He let Drew put his foot on his chest after the match. A lot of things that marks for themselves in this business would not let their opponent do to them because they take themselves too seriously. So for all the haters out there, I think Phil Brooks takes himself too seriously. Trust me when I tell you, he would never let something like that happen if he wasn't there to do business. And I think he proved that again. I think he proved it tonight. He's there to do business. Whatever's best for that company and how they can utilize him, he's down for it. And he proved it tonight.
They did a great – sorry. Go
ahead. I just was going to repeat it again. It's really important that people take that home with them for those that maybe wanted to see him win. There's no way he could have won just because of all the shit he's caused Drew over the course of God knows how long now, completely screwing this guy over. Drew is still a guy that's going to be the world champion of that company again one day. And it's a great storyline. And it's now going to, in my opinion, I think at first I thought it was going to be over because Drew beat him. You know, it's over. I thought now they'd move on from Punk to Seth, but Drew put the damn bracelet back on again. So I don't know. I did think, and maybe they did this on purpose. They did make Punk, I thought, look a little stupid by being too emotionally invested in the bracelet, which Punk is a really smart wrestler, right? He usually outthinks his opponents, especially those he's more experienced than. But I didn't like the way the announcers kept over and exaggerating it. It made him look like he's being stupid for doing so. Whereas, no, this is a layer. If you're going to beat CM Punk, you have to have this out. You have to have this newer paint job that he has, that he is a little bit more emotional. Now, he does have a family that he loves very much, especially his wife and his dog, right? So if that's his thing, then that's what you got to put out there. And if that's all he cares about, then that's what you do with the storyline. It makes perfect sense. But the announcers just were beating him up over it way too much. And, oh, God, he's beating himself out here. And they could have done a little bit better, in my opinion, protecting him. If you knew that's what the storyline was, you knew that's the finish was going to be, you could have done, like, could have said things like, folks, I don't blame him. What would you do? Another man, is walking around kissing something with your wife's name on it. How would you handle it? Go, like, something like that. They didn't talk like that. They just were burying him for being dumb for chasing a bracelet.
I did like it, though. So the finish of the match, they had Drew McIntyre. So CM Punk gets his bracelet back, gets it off of Drew. And then, you know, he doesn't put it on his wrist. He drops it on the ground. So Seth Rollins picks it up. They don't show Seth Rollins picking it up and putting it on his arm. And then later, Punk is about to beat Drew. And then he looks at Seth Rollins and he has the bracelet on.
And yeah, then, they did show Seth put it on. He didn't put it on like, ha, 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 ha. Referee would do. If somebody throws something in the ring, they take it and they throw it out. In this case, he just quickly put it on. It's back to refereeing again. He didn't do it like to be a dick to Punk. So yeah. Punk didn't see that, didn't know that. He just saw when he saw the bracelet on the ref's hand, on Seth's hand. He's like, what the hell is that? Why is that on your hand? And da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And that was a good layer. Very good layer.
Yeah, I liked it.
I really want to see it. I want to see him versus Seth. I really want to see that.
Can they hold that off until WrestleMania, I wonder? Because you've got to think they're going to do Drew a couple more times.
I guess they are. Drew put the bracelet back on, so I guess it's inevitable, right?
Yeah.
Three-way? I don't know. I just know that was a lot of storyline. Yeah. With the three of them that I'm there for. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. So Punk saw Seth with the bracelet, hit the GTS, and that allowed Drew to hit the Claymore and get the win. And then after the match, yeah, like you said, Drew just put his foot on Punk's chest, took the bracelet back. Man, it was greatly done. I really loved everything about this match. You know, it's one of those you're not watching for the moves or any flips or anything like that. You're watching it for the story, and it was really well told. It kind of reminded me, have you seen Heat?
The
that movie Heat?
Yeah. Oh, it's been many years.
At the end, like, De Niro could have gotten away. There's this guy like that got away with that was a traitor to his group and like really hurt his group. And at the end, he could have gotten away, but he just couldn't help himself and then went and, you know, killed a traitor. And then Pacino finally got him. That's kind of what this reminded me of. Like, you just can't let that one thing, you know, get away. And anyway, so cool ending.
And
it was. Punk with the win. And Punk at the end at one point said to Seth, I don't care about your stupid Sabu pants when he was
that dressed. I popped huge for that. I did pop for that. I heard that.
Because when he came out, that's what I thought. I was like, oh, Seth is wearing Sabu pants. That was awesome.
That was good.
Up next, Damian Priest versus Gunther. It's funny, like on my predictions, I had a clean sweep tonight and I had Gunther winning after Finn cost him. And that's exactly what happened. These guys beat the shit out of each other. Gunther is bleeding from his chest. I mean, Gunther, how often do you see Gunther in a match where he gets the worst of it when it comes to like chops and kicks to the chest?
I'm just going record saying this was Damian Priest's best match I've seen today. He was on fire tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, he was going out of a blaze of glory.
This was the best he's looked.
Yeah. And so at the end of the match, Damian had Gunther beat, referees counting 1-2, and then Finn put Gunther's foot on the rope. So I kind of like how it wasn't just a straight up Finn attacks Damian and that's how the turn happens. He did the foot on the ropes for Gunther. At first, Damian didn't see it, and then they're showing the replay on the screen. And I like how they use that screen because so often, they play dumb to to the screen. And so they showed the replay. Damien saw it. Gunther got the win. And that's it. The Judgment Day is completely different now. I'm presuming Finn is now the leader. You got Liv Morgan presumably in the group. So, yeah, really cool. Really cool storytelling.
Wait, you think? See, I don't. I don't think. No, I think Rhea and I'm saying Rhea and Damien are out. And it's
and it's
Finn. What's the other dude's name with the big head?
JD McDonagh.
JD McDonagh and
Carlito.
Dirty Dom.
And yeah,
and Liv
and Liv, right? Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, I thought you said with Rhea. Sorry.
Oh, maybe I meant Liv. If I said Rhea,
yeah. So that will So I'm interested to see how they do that and what they do with it. They both were both such big personalities, but physically as well, both Rhea and Damien, for that group to be taken seriously. Do you know what I mean? When they came out, those two were the ones like, oh shit, they're gonna F somebody up, right? When the other three, you know, Lollipop Guild walks out, and nobody really intimidated or scared. But they're, you know what? There may lie the heat, for all I know.
Yeah. Antoine, $2 super chat saying, did Roman return? He sure did. We'll be getting that to that here in a second. Stellar Justin Lopez with $4.99 super chat saying, Drew had to win here with the CM Punk match. Punk had one upped him too many times, and besides, this wasn't a one match feud. That's why I picked Drew to win, because I felt exactly the same.
Well, you originally did pick Punk, just for the record. You definitely did.
No, I did not. You go look at my Twitter.
It's like 3 or 4 episodes ago. Yes, you did.
Okay, maybe 3.
You said he's not coming back to his first match ever, and he's losing.
Did I?
Mm-hmm. Which makes logical sense, but you got to remember. But in your defense, I think there was one more screw job of Punk screw Drew one more time.
Tonight in my picks before the show on Twitter, that's Drew. Yeah. But you could have easily done it the other way, and then Drew's even more mad. But I like the way they did it.
No. Drew had to win this. Yeah.
No bueno crew. We're going to talk about the main event here in a second. $1.99 super chat saying Solo's timing tonight was so good.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Except for the last spear with Roman. He did mess that up a little bit, but that's okay.
Yeah. And Terrence Witted with the $4.99 super chat saying, WWE is good but predictable. Meanwhile, AEW can be hit or miss, but I can't always tell where they are going. I love having two big brands in the USA.
So, Terrence, that's a good call. And can I just add one thing to that, Terrence? One of the reasons you can't tell is because a lot of AEW superstars are still on their come up. A lot of those talents are not talents you've seen for 10 or 20 years. You know what? They're a lot newer. So we've not seen them go through recycled storyline after storyline and decade after decade of stuff, except for Edge and Christian, obviously, but there's a couple others. But for the most part, every star you see on that show is fairly, much newer. And because of that, a lot of them have not had TV experience until they started with AEW. So that's a good thing as far as match predictability goes when you think about it. And that's a really good point.
Yeah. The Miz and R-Truth were out. They announced the SummerSlam attendance as 57,791. I think that's going to be pretty close to the legit attendance. The legit attendance was probably like 54. Who knows? Maybe it was 57 by the time the event started. But still, over the second largest SummerSlam crowd in history. So that's a huge deal.
That's it. That's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. And SummerSlam stadiums is going to be a thing. So afterwards they had Austin Theory and Grayson Waller come out.
That. This is stupid. Don't even bring that part up. Just fast forward.
Did Jelly Roll
care about Jelly Roll with a one arm? Do you think they care about Jelly Roll's one arm choke slam?
Did he expose that the choke slam, like anyone can do it by doing that?
Because Austin Theory's got like a 45-inch vertical. Yeah. I think everybody's always known it, or at least, I'd say after 99, 2000-ish, I think people picked up on how chokeslam works.
Yeah, I don't know. You don't like seeing someone like Jelly Roll being able to do a chokeslam like that on.
He's a big dude, though. It wasn't like he's some small, wimpy-looking dude.
That's true.
Like, he dwarfed those two guys.
Yeah. So the main event time, Solo Sikoa out first. And then they did this big elaborate entrance for Cody with the backstage stuff. It was really cool. I really liked how they did it.
Is his dog passing away, by the way? Is that why? I didn't understand that when they said this is the dog's last time.
Yeah, he's just old, okay. So he's not going to be traveling with them. I always remember that first.
It made me feel really sad. I was like, did they mean to say that? Because like, I feel horrible.
Yeah, I think he's just old. I remember that first All Out show. And
yeah, of course.
Oh no, Double or Nothing, and they didn't think about the dog being freaked out by the fireworks.
Right.
Yeah. So some good memories with Pharaoh. But they started off showing Cody in the bus, coming out. He's walking towards the ring. The new production since Kevin Dunn's been gone. They do all these little cool little things that are different that really enhance the product, I think. And so they showed Cody walking towards the ring, and then he stopped by Arn Anderson. So Arn Anderson's first appearance since being not released by AEW, but his contract was not renewed. Mm-hmm. And he tells Cody, he's like, you know, we've known each other a long time, and some of your friends are on the way. Mm-hmm. Teasing with this Bloodline Rules match that
he'll have backup. Yep.
He'll have backup. Exactly. So the match starts.
Really quick, you didn't think that what got Cody in trouble with AEW is he got too cute for his own good. Mm-hmm. The production was great on this entrance for him, and the crowd did pop once his music hit and he came out. They erupted. You're right. I do worry about him time to time getting too cutesy, you know, McGillicuddy with all these different hat on a hat. He's got to be careful of that. This crowd will turn eventually, could, especially with Roman being back. Could turn on him if he doesn't, you know, lower it back just a little bit of real Cody and not hat on a hat.
And to your point, I thought like him putting the mask on, I thought that was a little too many gimmicks, you know.
Dog, Arn, freaking, that's how old I am, about to call the Winnebago a tour bus, Skeletor mask.
Yeah. Yeah.
Putting on his jacket.
Right. Yeah. It should have ended there. But once with the mask, it was starting to become a little bit of a parody.
How come somebody didn't run up and give him a Gatorade real quick? Tie his shoe for him.
Yeah. So the match.
Cody, blow your nose real quick? Cody, blow your nose real quick. All right. We're good. Go.
A little powder. So the match started, it was solid stuff from both Solo and Cody. They both looked really good.
Solo looked very good in the beginning. If let me take over part of this. Solo did a really good job of scouting his offense. He looked more mature in the ring tonight. For everybody's knocking him, he ain't the real tribal chief. Everyone's chanting for Roman, FU Solo. So certain things he did in this early part of the match, I really appreciated. Him being able to finally somebody scout Cody's Dustin Rhodes punch that he's jacked from his brother, where he takes the back bump and snap punches up at the guy's face who's bent over and usually bends over and takes it. Mm-hmm. He caught it. Solo caught it. I was like, that shit ain't working here tonight. Little things like that just move you up chapters as a main event talent. My opinion, because it shows you watch your opponent's shit and that you're scouting them like you would a sporting team. And I don't know. I thought that was something that stuck out to me. Go ahead. Keep going.
It's funny, Matt, with Cody, he's such a white meat baby face that you brought up, like with Roman back, you know, you don't want to give fans a reason to boo you. But are you surprised that it's been this long?
Yes, I am.
And he's still not getting booed at all.
Yes,
still
I am.
Universal cheers.
100% yes, I am surprised. Yes, yes. Because right. Today's day and age, white meat baby faces usually don't work.
Yeah,
he's figured it out, or I don't know what. You can't deny it.
He's the first one to have figured it out since, like, Bret Hart.
Now, I feel like we're cursing him here because I feel the turn coming. I do. And I don't mean the turn from him. I mean the turn from the audience eventually. I do somewhat feel it coming. Now it depends on what they do with Roman.
Yeah,
they've got to be very careful here.
Yeah because Roman has got that cool factor.
Yes, so
you even felt it when he came in tonight.
100% yeah, it was like a man among boys. That's the way it felt to me.
Yeah. And so as the match is going on, we finally got our first interference is from Tama Tonga Tongaloa. They come in, go to town, and then KO's music hits. He comes down, cleans house, and then, you know, he starts getting double teamed. The numbers advantage works against him for a bit. Then Randy Orton's music hits. He comes out, and then they go to the back. Match continues. Then you have Jacob Fatu come out, and he's just a bulldozer, just killing. He's just killing Cody for a while.
Crazy offense too, guys. Does the whisper in the first movie hits is a whisper in the wind. What the hell off the top rope? That was crazy. He hits the double jump moonsault he does from the second to the third top at the top rope and jumps off with a moonsault. He'd land that perfectly. Mm-hmm. I hit him with a couple of super kicks, one in the ring, one out of the ring. Got Cody set up on the table, climbed to the top rope and jumped from the top rope to the outside table Cody was laying across. Table exploded. Jacob came up, you know, yelling and grabbing his right or left shin, really selling it hard and throwing chairs around him, really looking like he was pissed and selling, or he really did hurt it. I hope he did not hurt it. I pretty God he did not hurt it, Raj. And then started yelling at Solo, get him in the ring and beat him.
Yeah.
And that was a good touch. And it reminded me when Solo was doing that to Roman at WrestleMania. Remember? He was screaming at Roman. When he kicked out of Roman stuff after Solo hit him with the spike at WrestleMania. But anyways, you can take it from there.
Yeah, it looked the injury. It did look real because it looked like they were supposed to take Cody in the ring, double team him. And then we get the next big surprise. Roman's music hits. Roman comes out, huge pop. Fans go absolutely berserk. But Jacob Fatu is outside the ring. So basically what Roman does, just kicks the shit out of Solo Sikoa, hits him with the spear, leaves. He kind of gives Cody the kind of like a we're cool or, you know, you go ahead. He gives him that look. And then Cody hits his finisher, the crossroads, and gets the win. So that was the end of the match. It was really a really fun match. Again, hopefully Jacob Fatu is okay. Hopefully maybe that was just an angle so they don't have him getting taken out by Roman this soon, but it didn't look like that. It looked like a legitimate injury.
Let's hope it's not, though.
Because
in a weird way, it would make sense to have kept him down that way, because otherwise he's sitting there with his D in his hand watching Solo get taken out and him not doing anything. So it makes sense for him to be selling something. I'm hoping here. I'm being so hopelessly optimistic. So I'm trying to convert what I really think, because I don't want him to be injured. I really just don't. This would suck. Yeah,
I agree 100%.
This was an amazing match. I love this match.
It was great. Michael Sachs Jr. with the $1.99 Super Chats asking, are you surprised that there was no Paul or Jimmy or Jay?
Okay. When I started, I forgot all about Jimmy and Jay, if I'm being for real, until I heard the fans start chanting once Jacob hit the ring. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Jay will be there, and Jay will even the odds for Cody or something like that. But then, you know, we're supposed to be expecting Roman back, you know. Where would he fit in then, you know? So I wasn't sure. But here's the thing. It's good they didn't go there. They need to hold that off, Jimmy and Jay being back in the fold. They need to hold Paul even if they could in a perfect world. There's a lot of storytelling that could be done here. We still got to remember The Rock is still out there. We have a lot of story layers to be told, and I hope they don't rush it. I don't. I'm being patient with Solo, even though we all know he ain't the real tribal chief, and it gets kind of annoying because he ain't Roman. But therein lies the heat. And I'm coming on the ride. I want to see what the payoff's going to be.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. You don't want to do too much in one match. You want one big story element happening. And then you have months to get Heyman in the fold. Where do the Usos fit in? I remember when with the Bloodline Sammy storyline, when the Bloodline finally beat the hell out of Sammy and KO made the save. And then KO just left. He didn't hug Sammy or anything. And there were so many people criticizing that KO didn't hug Sammy. They didn't do so. And it's like they had weeks, you know. It was weeks of storytelling they got out of not doing it right away. And you don't want to rush stuff. So I agree with you 100%.
That was still one of the best storylines I've seen in my life, that Sami Zayn Bloodline storyline.
it's like Hogan Savage, and it was kind of like on that level of like great storylines over the decades.
Yeah.
Terrence Wittard with the $1.99 super chat. Who do you guys see as Gunther's first opponent?
That's what's crazy about Gunther. It could be anybody. I'm not saying it as a cop out. I'm saying it because it, literally he's been fed everybody in this company for the most part. He's not been in there. Well, yeah, he's been in there with Roman too. Is it a rematch? It's the easy answer?
Who's that?
Is it automatic rematch, right, to Damian?
I would think Damian would probably be the first one. I would think they'd probably do a couple rematches with that. Even though Damian has now the natural feud with Finn, I still think that you go to Damian and Gunther first. And you know, you got Sammy, you got Jey Uso. You don't want to go to like Punk or these guys yet. So,
okay.
I would think, yeah, like Jey Uso or someone like that. Armando Gomez with the $10 super chat saying, I was waiting for Heyman to come out ECW hat trench coat music. As he is about to run to the ring, he stops and puts the one in the air and hands the chair to Roman. Again, you don't want to do too much. That's now. Now you want to see like when does Paul come back? When he does, you know.
I still think this is way in the distance. Hopefully, I do think he comes back, and I do think he sides with Solo and them.
Heyman.
Listen to me. I know they just pulverized him recently. I get that. That's why it's going to take some time to get there. But he can't be a babyface manager. Doesn't work.
Interesting.
Think about it. What a big betrayal to Roman.
Yeah.
Like Roman thinks he's his guy. And, you know, ends up helping Solo and the rest of them. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. There's so many darn layers to think about with this. Again, I keep throwing the freaking rocks still somehow involved in this too.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
It's cool.
So overall, I thought it was a really great pay-per-view. One of the better SummerSlams in a while. How would you rate it on a scale from 1 to 10?
8.5, 9.
Yeah. I'm with you. 8.5, 9 sounds pretty perfect. Awesome.
Every match, there was no sleep. There was no crapper match. There was no, this is my popcorn match. There was none for me on this show. Yeah. I'm dead serious.
Yeah, and we mentioned the 4 hours. The 4 hours didn't feel long to me because there was just so much going on. Like, it was just an entertaining 4 hours. It wasn't like you have an hour of just boring, you know, like nothing happening. So, I don't know. I thought it was a great show.
It was, and again, shout out to the production team. The production was masterful again.
Yeah. Michael Williams with the $9.99 super chat saying, I agree the bloodline story to come out is like a championship storyline. No belt needed. We are entering an awesome era of WWE wrestling. Storylines are king.
Yes,
storylines are better now than they have been in decades.
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is now you got all these talented guys on top of these good storylines. Finally, before you always had one without the other. You had the bodybuilders of the 80s with the Hulk Hogan's and etc. That had some really good storylines, right? When we were younger, we loved those storylines as kids.
Yeah.
Bundy breaking Hogan's ribs, things like that still in our heads today. But then, you had the influx of Ring of Honor and independent talents. You know, smaller size guys that do high spots and. Then the business became about people that can do high spots, but then there was no storylines. Mm-hmm. Now you've got the perfect blend of super athletic wrestlers, also look like they're in shape, look athletic, and at the same time are having the best storylines I've seen, like you said, in decades. It's all coming together. The business is coming together right at the right time, just perfectly.
It's funny. They were showing, I don't know if you saw any of the pre-show, but they were doing the Michael Cole CM Punk interviews, and there was something about the old CM Punk coming back, and they were showing like old clips of CM Punk, and man, CM Punk is a lot more in shape, I guess, than what he was. Yeah,
I agree with that. I noticed that too. Yes.
A couple of news quick hits. Britt Baker was suspended either for a week or two. If she's out this week on this week's Dynamite, then it was 2 weeks. She had an incident with MJF Baker, Britt apparently said something about MJF backstage. Alicia, MJF's girlfriend, heard it and told MJF, and he confronted Britt. Apparently, it got kind of heated at one point during the whole thing. MJF at one point apparently punched a wall. We don't know. There was an investigation that happened, and MJF wasn't suspended. Britt Baker was. But there are a lot of people in AEW that were sympathetic to Britt Baker.
What is it she said about MJF? Do we know?
No. But even then, if someone says something, you know, like if you heard in football, like someone said something about another player.
Oh, the business? Oh, this is the wrestling business. No, brother, are you kidding me? They're the worst. The guys and girls in our locker rooms were the worst at this. Are you kidding me? They love that. They love stirring the pot.
Right. But to get suspended over words, like MJF punched the wall. You know what I mean? Like, there was nothing physical with what Britt did. The only physicality... No,
that's a
weird
reason. That's a stupid reason to be suspended, because you talk shit about somebody. So what? Get over it.
Yeah.
They're all doing it. Every wrestler does it to the other. Don't pretend they all do it. Not just AEW, all wrestlers in general.
Right. And I'm not saying MJF should have gotten suspended either. I mean, punching a wall, he didn't.
Nobody should.
Yeah. It seems very high school.
Yes. Yes, it does. It also points a direction that if you're as over as MJF, you're good. And if you're, you know, not as over as him, you're not. Because otherwise, I don't care what she said. They're words. Words are words. You know what I mean?
Right. Also, last week, Shane McMahon and Tony Khan had a meeting.
Here we go.
First time they've ever met. So, do you see anything to this?
Besides Mercedes Moné going, I'm going to take the picture.
Do you think this is just Shane? You know, remember how Brock Lesnar, every time his contract's coming up, he ends up meeting with Dana White and someone's taking a picture of it? Yes. Or when Hulk Hogan wanted to come back to WWE, he'd start talking with Jeff Jarrett or TNA.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know. I don't see what he does for that company. He's a general manager, on air character. Okay, that'd be cool the first night, just for the sheer pop reaction of a McMahon no longer being in WWE and being for the rival company for that 1 minute. Then, as the saying goes, the bell rings. Then what do we do with him? I don't know.
Like, you think, like, the Young Bucks bringing them in on their side, and you have Tony. The thing is, Tony Khan is not a good enough on-screen character to make that work, or he's, like, at odds with Shane McMahon.
No, I know he wants to be. I wish he was for his, because he's such a big fan. You could tell he is, Tony. But you're right, he's not. I just don't think there's any meat on the bone with that, with Shane. I don't see what you do besides that first initial, holy shit. You know, Shane McMahon's an AEW reaction the first night he gets there. I just don't see what the overall payoff would be, unless, which will never happen, somehow the McMahons have invested in the company and they're legitimately partial owners, which will never happen. If that did, that would then, yes, raise my eyebrows, like, what the hell's going on here?
So Shane McMahon released a statement to Bully Ray of Busted Open. He said, Tony and I were connected through a mutual friend and we had a great meeting. We talked about many things, but mostly about our shared love for the business and the rewards and challenges of working with family. I congratulated him on the 5-year anniversary of AEW and look forward to how he evolves the business moving forward. So
that's, come on. That's as much of a nothing burger answer as he could possibly have given him. There's nothing said there.
Earlier this week,
that's not the truth. They obviously talked about business,
right?
Or some type of relationship, obviously.
Yeah. So earlier this week, the Hardys met with WWE. Do you think maybe there could be a spot for them in NXT? You know, because it just seems like main roster, outside of a 1-month run, there's not much there.
One night pop, at Mania or something like that. In Mania, I wouldn't want them taking a spot for somebody else just because they've done so many. I don't know. It's just like NXT. I see NXT maybe helping out the younger guys in tag team division or whatever. But
yeah. And with the TV ratings, and you know, AEW. So NXT, Raw were both down, but Raw did a 0.51 against the Olympics. And that was after moving to Sci-Fi, which was not down that much from the prior week. And usually you switch stations, you see a huge drop. Like usually it's 35%. Dynamite had a 33% drop in its normal time slot. And the Olympics competition that night was not near as strong as what NXT had. NXT was against Simone Biles. Raw had. So,
dude, that was a once in a lifetime performance she put on that night too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously, it was insane. That's like in the history books, it was considered one of the greatest performances of Jimmy said, like more than Mary Lou Retton. I'm dead serious. It's very big what she did that night.
Yeah. So AEW there, I mean, we'll see what they get back to after the Olympics. Normally in the past, we've seen real sports did not affect AEW as much, but hopefully this low rating is a 0.18 and 1849 second lowest in show history in its time slot. Hopefully that's it. And then the last thing, Tony Khan noticed he was in Paris. He said he had never been to Paris, and he was meeting with WBD executives such as David Zaslav. But their exclusive negotiation period with WBD ended at the end of July, so they are now free to negotiate with other companies. So no deal still for AEW. All these, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, I think there were a bunch of outlets saying it was imminent. Obviously, it wasn't. And actually, for the past year, so many times people have been saying it's imminent, but it hasn't. So
what's imminent? That there's they get a deal. Deal?
Yeah, that they get this deal.
I do think it is happened. Too. It's new programming every single week, Raj. They're not going to give them a huge raise. It's going to be a similar deal, maybe with a Coke and a smile thrown in on top of it.
Do you think they're waiting until the NBA stuff is all settled? Because they just filed the lawsuit. Because who knows how long that could take, though.
I do think it's a part of it, though. I do.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. I think AEW ends up staying with WBD.
Yes.
But yeah, I agree.
Where else would they go? Where else is an option?
Well, Disney has FX, right? Like they bought FX from Fox and basically all of Fox's assets. So they own FX, which is, it has about as strong a reach as USA, TNT, TBS. So they could put like Dynamite on FX, put like Collision on ESPN2, and then, you know, Rampage on ESPN+, and then have the pay-per-views on ESPN+. So that would, I think, be the best fit after WBD. You also have Amazon, who's been, you know, really throwing their money around. So those would be the two big ones that I could see.
Wouldn't Amazon be a bigger deal because they wouldn't they be able to give them like a Netflix? Not like when Netflix gave WWE, but the most because
like they a don't comparable have, deal.
Yeah, because they don't have wrestling there. They don't have something like this, and Netflix just got a huge deal with WWE. I know Amazon's always trying to, you know, be the counter what Netflix does, even though they failed miserably.
Yeah, and they did sign 1FC a while ago, so they've shown that they don't necessarily need the A brand. So I could definitely see Amazon being in that picture for sure.
Man, it's crazy where the business is going, man. It's wild.
I know. So that about does it for tonight, Matt. Is there anything else you could think of?
No, that's about it. Love this pay-per-view, though. Oh, if you guys didn't get a chance, go back and watch it. Every match, too. I'm dead serious. Every match was really, really good.
A great SummerSlam pay-per-view, or PLE. Still not fully used to saying that. Definitely check it out. And thank you guys all for tuning in. We had a great live viewership tonight. Really appreciate it. And as always, please take a second, hit like, hit subscribe, smash that subscribe button or whatever that saying is, because it really does help us out. We're about a year into doing this podcast, and we really appreciate the support. It helps us out a lot. So thank you. And we'll be back, I think, this Friday, unless some big news breaks.
Yep. Folks, most weeks, not most weeks, every week we're on Friday, right before SmackDown. You know, so right before you're ready to tune in SmackDown, check us out first, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You're on Gigantic Pop. Share this, like it, like Raj said. Leave comments in the comment section. I'll try to respond to you guys tonight. If you do make some comments in there, ask some questions, I'll respond. And please share it as much as you can and help us grow, please.
Yeah, and also in the comment section, leave your rating for SummerSlam tonight and your thoughts. And real quick before we go, from the press conference, Justin Lopez pointing out that Triple H said that Jacob's a little banged up. Hopefully it's nothing serious. So that's the only update we have right now.
I'm going to watch that now.
Yeah. So thank you again, guys. We'll see you Friday and take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.